Good evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again here this evening. Tonight we're going to look at a passage of scripture that a man is healed of his infirmity there in scripture. But praise the Lord, God can not only heal our physical bodies, he can make us spotless to God Almighty. An amazing thing. Sometimes God doesn't choose to heal us, and we don't understand why. We have a lot of sickness in our congregation, cancer and all, and we don't understand why, but we praise God that he can make us spotless before his heavenly Father. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, the account here of blind Bartimaeus. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he cast away his garments and rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's kneel in prayer.
Thank you for your prayers on my behalf for this evening. For the prayer of Brother Dustin. One of the main purposes of presentations is to change the ways that people think or act. And going back to the 1960s, expert speakers have identified words in the English language that are effective in being the most persuasive. And included on that list of persuasive words are the following. Free. Everybody loves free, I'm assuming you do. It's an attention grabber whenever we see free. How about the word love? It's obviously one of the most powerful words. It can be very persuasive if you know, especially if you know what someone loves the most. If someone loves dogs, it would behoove the person who's trying to convince them of something to tell them how this is going to show love to their dog. It's persuasive. Another one of those words on the list is save. Everyone loves to save money and time. Another one is new. We like new stuff. New. Persuasive. Another one's easy. Someone says this is easy. It's a persuasive because life can be tough at times and we like more ease in our lives. Another one is guarantee. Nice to buy something with a guarantee, isn't it? Because it removes risk and makes us feel safer. Another word that's persuasive is health. Consider the things that we're willing to do, willing to buy, willing to eat. Some of these diets are dreadful. Willing to drink. Willing, you know, if it's supposed to be good for our health. Another word that's on that list of persuasive words is you. Because you, when I speak to someone and I say you, it makes more personable. It makes people feel more special. Other persuasive words include limited. If there's only so much time or so many available, we tend to act quicker. It's a limited supply. And another one is best. Tell me, which sounds better to you or is more appealing? This place has milkshakes. Or if I say this place has the best milkshakes. I'm going to the best. It has a persuasive effect. There's no doubt about it that we are affected by persuasive words that are spoken to us or that are used in material that we read. However, when we consider our communicating with God, we can take comfort in knowing that we don't have to try to persuade God to listen to us. We don't have to use certain persuasive words so that he will be convinced to respond to us. Rather, as believers, we can simply cry out to God, and he's listening, and it creates an opportunity for him to respond. And many times in Scripture, or Scripture refers to crying out to God, or to cry, or the word cried, and forms of cry. And that is our subject this evening, crying out to God. We want to consider who should cry out and how, reasons for crying out, and what is God's response. And I took, using those words from Scripture, cry out and cry and cried and so on, to build or to develop our thoughts this evening. First of all, who should cry out to God and how? It's a simple answer. Those who have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Verse 17 of the same chapter, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. Certainly the sinner has the avenue available to them to cry out to God for salvation. However, this great privilege of communicating with the Almighty by crying out to him is reserved mainly for his children, for those that fear him. Psalm 145:19 says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. We as believers have this great way of being able to pour out our hearts to our Heavenly Father by crying out to him. You know, it's a way for us to express our trust in our Lord's ability and his willingness to help us. It's really a way of surrender, because it's really a leaving it in his hands when I cry out to my Heavenly Father. In Scripture, crying out, if you're thinking, well, what does it really mean? It refers to using one voice, an audible voice, and doing so with fervor or passion. And I noticed that when Dustin read the Scripture tonight, if you will notice it, Bartimaeus cried out, and when Dustin read that, he lifted his voice when he was reading what Bartimaeus said. Bartimaeus just didn't say, have mercy on me. He cried out and said, Lord, have mercy on me. He raised his voice. It was an audible, a voice with fervor and passion. You know, when we pray in a way of crying out to the Lord, it's not just your regular prayer. It's not, thank you, Lord, for this day. That's fine. That's okay. There's a time for praying that way. But crying out is an audible voice with fervor. It's to be expressed in sincerity and humility. Psalm 9:12 says that God forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Psalm 17:1, David is praying and says, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. And he simply says that that's not coming out of deceitful or false lips. He means it's a sincere cry. Listen, God is waiting. He wants to hear us crying out to him, and we can do it at any time. At any time. Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. That's any time. He's waiting. That answers the who should cry out to God and how. What are reasons for crying out to God? Well, first of all, and again, I don't claim for this to be an all-exhaustive list, but I have 10 reasons. And they'll go quick, so don't worry about that. But the first one is for mercy. A reason for crying out to God is for mercy and for help. In our text, Bartimaeus cried out in faith for mercy. If you notice and read that again, he cried out in faith. And he was pleading, or he's asking for mercy. And then as an extension of that mercy, he desired to receive his sight. His first request was for mercy. And then he asked for his sight to be restored. Now it seems to me that there's something for us to learn from that. That when we have needs and we want to cry out to God, that we should first cry out for his mercy. Cry out for his mercy. Lord, you're the Almighty. You know all about me. You've always been good to me. You've always been good to me. I'm needy, Lord, and you're the one who can meet my needs. But I'm not deserving, so I'm crying out first of all for mercy. Mercy. And in your mercy, will you help me? Will you meet my need? Crying out to God for mercy is also a cry for help. When you cry out, when I cry out to the Lord for mercy, we are also crying out for his help. Bartimaeus cried out for both. He cried out saying, Lord, have mercy on me. And when the Lord stopped and listened to him, he asked that his sight would be restored. He asked for help. Second reason to cry out to the Lord is this: when we feel helpless or a situation seems hopeless, a situation seems so bad we don't know what to do. And from our own perspective, it might seem hopeless. Psalm 18:6 says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. When we feel helpless or a situation seems hopeless, it's an opportunity. It's a chance that we should use to cry out to our Heavenly Father. Closely related is that we can cry out to the Lord a third way, or at a third time. A third reason for it is when we're overwhelmed. When we feel like life is giving us more than we can handle, is an opportunity to cry out to our Heavenly Father. Psalm 61 verse 2 says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Can you think of a better request? When I'm overwhelmed in life, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Crying out to our Heavenly Father. Reasons why we should do it and when we should. A fourth reason to cry out to the Lord is when we're in bondage. In Exodus 2:23, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. God heard their cry in their bondage that they were in. That translates to us spiritually, that if we are in some kind of bondage, it is an opportunity and a time to cry out to God. Even as believers, it may be a time that we know that we're in bondage to something or to a sin, and we need to cry out to our Lord for mercy and for help. Reasons to cry out to our Heavenly Father when we're in bondage. A fifth reason to cry out to the Lord is this: because of affliction and oppression. Affliction simply means troubles. Oppression can be mental pressure or distress. Exodus 3, again, the children of Israel, verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Verse 9 says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. They were feeling the affliction and the oppression of the Egyptians, and God heard their cry. And like the Israelites, if we experience affliction and oppression from an outside source, it may be satanic oppression, we need to cry out to God for mercy, for his help, and for his deliverance. Reasons to cry out, to literally, with an audible and perhaps even a loud voice, crying out to the Lord with a humble and sincere heart, pleading for his mercy and his help. A sixth reason from Scripture to cry out to the Lord is because of enemies. Psalm 56, verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. You might think, well, I don't know if I have any enemies. If you're a believer, you got enemies. We have enemies. So a sixth reason would be because of enemies. A seventh reason to cry out to the Lord is because of persecution. Psalm 142, verse 6 says, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. An opportunity again. We don't yet suffer the persecution of others around the world, other believers. But what persecution you do endure is an opportunity to cry out unto the Lord for his strength and his grace to endure. An eighth reason for crying out to God is for understanding truth. Psalm 119, verse 169, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to the world. Is that what it says? Give me understanding according to thy word. It's a crying out to God in times of when we need understanding, when we're not sure what is right or which way is the right path. Cry out to the Lord. Give me understanding according to your truth. I need it. I'm asking for it. I'm crying out to you, Lord, for your response and your help. There's a ninth reason for crying out to God. And that is that simply, he's our Father. Romans 8, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Fathers care about their children. Now, I'm putting this in the perspective of the way a father ought to be. Fathers love their children. Fathers want to help their children. Fathers do what's best for their children. Fathers are merciful. Fathers understand. That's God to us. So why wouldn't we cry out to him when we have a heavenly father, like a daddy here on earth who serves as our heavenly father? We cry out to him because he loves us. He'll help us. He'll do what's best for us. He's merciful. He'll understand. He's our father. There's a tenth reason to cry out to God. Kind of takes a different turn as to what we've been referring to, a different reason, but that is in praise. To cry out audibly in praise, and even with fervor. Somehow we're a little shy about that at times, aren't we? Especially here. I'm not promoting Pentecostal or, you know, being a Pentecostal or anything, and I'll let that with them and with the Lord. But is there anything wrong with crying out to God in praise? Where a voice is heard in the auditorium, hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Isaiah 12, 6, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Now again, I realize, talking to the Jewish people, that still translates to us as believers, because we're under the same blessings. Listen what it says earlier in that the previous verses. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. That happened to you? That happened to me He was angry with me. That anger has been turned aside because of Christ. He now comforts me. Behold, God is my salvation. He's my salvation. Brother Glenn made that very clear, that he's the only salvation this morning, and that's so true. He's my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He's the strength of my life. The song that I sing is because of him. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. He's done great things, so I'm going to declare it. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout. A reason to cry out to the Lord audibly and with fervor is because he's been so good, and because in praise to him and what he's done for my life, and because he is the only salvation. The only reason that I'm going to get into heaven is because of him. That's 10 reasons to cry out to God. You may find more, maybe even think of more. Plenty of reasons, though, to cry out to him. Well, thirdly, what is God's response? Well, I've already alluded to the answer, but Psalm 3, 4, verse 4 says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Psalm 34 that I referred to earlier, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cries. So he's hearing. He's hearing the cry of the righteous. So far, we've established that his response, well, he's listening. He's hearing it. Verse 17 of Psalm 34, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, but not only that, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Yeah, but I still have this. And he didn't pull me right out of that circumstance. He left me go through it. That's true. That happens. Hang on to that thought. Verse 49 of our account here of Bartimaeus is Jesus' response. Remember, Bartimaeus is crying out. He says, son of David, have mercy on me. And the people said, look, hold your peace. Don't cry out. But he cried out the more. Now, son of David, have mercy on me. And look what verse 49 says, the first phrase. And Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still. When something or someone gets our attention, what do? We stop. We get still, or we stand still, and then we maybe try to find the person or look to who was calling us or what grabbed our attention. We look. Well, what does that mean to us, the fact that Jesus stood still? When we cry out to God from a humble and sincere heart and faith, expressing our faith in him, our trust in him, God takes notice. We don't only have his listening ear, but we have his attention. And guess what? He's going to respond. Jesus ended up acting on Bartimaeus' cry. God will act on ours. Now listen, getting back to that thought, if you're thinking, well, he didn't do this for me in this situation. He's not doing this in somebody's life. Why are they going through all this? Sometimes it does mean he will respond in the way we think he should or in the way we ask, because he knows that that is best for us, for whatever his reasons and for his glory. But sometimes it means he won't respond in the way we think or ask, because he knows that isn't best. And that's hard for me and for you to grasp at times, because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are different than ours. There may, and there probably will be times when it seems God doesn't hear. But he does. We've already established that he has. We have the listening ear. The righteous Have the listening ear of the Father. He's still responding to our cry in His way, His time, for His glory. Sometimes His response is giving more grace. And to us, you know, that may seem like He's not responding. But in reality, He is. He's pouring grace into my life, into your life, and allowing us to go on with what's happening for some reason that He understands and we can't. I would just say this. This we can be assured of. In crying out to God, our Heavenly Father, a Father like a daddy, like we understand a good Father on this earth. He's a Father like that. We can be assured that when we cry out to Him, God hears the cry of the righteous and will always respond with what is best for them. He will always respond for what He knows is best for us. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 66. I'm going to begin reading at verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I would declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Verse 18 is one thing that can hinder our cry to God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In other words, if we are knowingly holding on to sin, enjoying it in our lives, not caring that it's there, we can't count on God to hear us unless it's a cry of repentance. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. God hath heard me. Apparently, He wasn't holding the iniquity in His heart. God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Did you catch that? There's a connection between our cry of prayer, and mercy. As I was trying to say earlier, He hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Why should we cry out to God? Because it's our privilege as His children. We have many reasons to do it. Many opportunities, many times where we feel overwhelmed or where there's troubles, there's afflictions, there's oppression, there's persecution, there's enemies that we're dealing with. There's a need for mercy. There's a need for help. There's many times to cry out for help. And I believe that God's word says He's listening. We have His ear, and He will respond in some way that is ultimately for my best. I may not understand that. I may never understand it until I get the glory. And I may not understand it in somebody else's life, but God surely does, and God surely knows. In encouraging us to cry out. I'd like to share these words yet, to cry out in prayer. Perhaps you felt this way. Someone wrote these words and they make at least some of the point that I'm trying to make this evening or encouraging us to. They said, you feel helpless, you feel hopeless. Like your whole life goes unnoticed. But someone knows, someone sees. So when you're on your knees, even when it feels like heaven is silent, even when you think nobody is there, even when it seems like you're invisible, even when you wonder if anyone cares, even when you can't find the words, cry out anyway. There's not a tear unseen, nor a prayer unheard. In the darkness, he will find you. Through the long night, he's beside you. There's no secret, no mistake that would make God turn away. So ask a question. Say all you need to say. He might answer with a yes or no, or maybe he'll say wait. But even when it feels like heaven is silent, even when you think nobody is there, even when it seems like you're invisible, even when you wonder if anyone cares, even when you can't find the words, cry out anyway. Cry out anyway. There's not a tear unseen, nor a prayer unheard.
Let's stand for closing prayer.